Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them, and she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from, and it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords, and as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who are on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did we remain there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I've shown you this kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers and my sisters, and all that I have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered, "Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be, when the Lord has given us this land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." And she went out, she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, and she dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, "Get to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way." So the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us to swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath which you have made us to swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. But the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into your hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." Lord, as we've read this whole chapter, we pray that you'd help us now, Lord, to understand and to apply the truths to our lives that you want to teach us. And I pray you'd speak something to each one of us individually, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, this story is one of the most intriguing in the whole Bible for many reasons. It has within it some fascinating things. It has spies, secrecy, fear, deal-making, dishonesty, deception, danger, deliverance, and redemption. It's a story of redemption of the life of one woman in the midst of the story of the redemption of a nation. And as we have read it, it begins, as we see, with Joshua sending two spies into the land of promise, specifically into this fortified city of Jericho. He probably sent two spies because he knows what happens when you send 12 spies. They get rather confused. You need only two spies to find out what's really going on in the land, to bring a good report. Now, Jericho was a city with two sets of walls. It was a city that had walls all around it, two sets thick, 8 to 10 feet thick on one section and 12 to 15 feet thick on the other. The archaeological digs have found the city of Jericho. And it's an interesting thing because in those days, the walls around a city were walls you could walk on. I have walked on the walls surrounding Jerusalem, for example. I've walked on a wall surrounding the ancient city of York, England. And so you can walk on these walls. They're thick. They're concrete walls. Not like we think of as walls here. And these two spies come to Jericho in search of information. And what better place to gather information than from the house of the local prostitute? The house of a wall walker, not a street walker, a wall walker by the name of Rahab. When they get there, word gets out that somehow they're there, and the king of Jericho seems to be expecting them, and they come looking for them, and they find out that they are at Rahab's house, and they come to the house of Rahab. Now, we don't know really why or how that happens. Perhaps it's because it's the likeliest place for foreigners to lodge, because these places also were used as innkeeper sort of places. They didn't have Motel 6 or Holiday Inn in those days. In fact, some have even mistakenly said that Rahab was simply an innkeeper. She wasn't a harlot because they don't want a harlot to be in this role. But it's clearly a harlot because the New Testament words that are used to translate who this is, it clearly is the word for a harlot or a prostitute. So the king sends soldiers to spy, and Rahab tells them a bit of a fib and redirects them away from the location. And she happens to have them buried under some flax, which is drying on their rooftop. Now, by the way, this might be an indication that she's trying to get out of her profession, her sinful occupation, because flax was something that when it dried, the process would then be able to make garments out of the process after you dried the flax out and you took the material out to be able to make the garments. But it was a lot of work, and it was not the normal work of a prostitute. And so it was hard work and common work and a good business. In fact, it's mentioned in Proverbs that the Proverbs 31 woman was a worker with flax. So maybe she's trying to get away from that. Well, the pursuers are gone, and the spies are ready to go, but they before they leave, they've gathered the information they need to bring back to Joshua, but before they leave, she comes, and she asks them to spare her and her father's household because of the kindness she has shown to them. And they agree, but they require that she places a scarlet cord in her window for them to see, and then they'll spare her. She gives them some final instructions, and they give her a warning that they're free from this oath if she does not bind that scarlet cord on the window. And she immediately places the cord on the window. She don't want to miss a beat here. She don't want to take a chance. And they come back then and bring the report to Joshua of what they've seen, that the people of the land are fearful of them and that God has delivered the land into their hands. And so we have this story. What are some of the lessons of the story of Rahab? We look at this story, and it's amazing, and it's interesting that we're talking about this on Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Because one of the things we're going to look at today is how God looked down upon one woman, one harlot. We see that she also was one who had a singular faith. As far as we know, she was all alone in this faith endeavor. She seemed to be the only one who believed in God, the God of the Hebrews, in this wicked Canaanite city. She didn't even seem to have others supporting her at all. We don't even know if her family was currently around her. You know, and it's tough when you think about being a Christian in the midst of a pagan society all alone is not an easy thing. And I think, again, of some of you college students, some of you guys that are out in the college world, or I think of even Pastor Saeed in Iran, where, you know, here he was just trying to help some children, and he ends up being arrested. And all he needed to do is say that he's not going to follow Jesus and say that he would deny Jesus and they would set him free. But no, instead, he's been in prison for these 2 years. We need to keep him in prayer, continue to pray for his family. I don't know if you realize, but he was an assistant pastor at a Calvary Chapel in Idaho, serving in a mission field. He's an American, Pastor Saeed. Saeed Abed, I can never pronounce his name quite right, but Pastor Saeed. You can search on the internet and find out all about him. We notice that with her faith, she took tremendous risk in her conviction. Notice in verses 3 and 4, it tells us there on how the king says, bring the men out to us who came to you. They're here to search out the whole country. And she tells this bit of a fib there. She tells a lie. She tells them the king's men, they're not here. They left already. But she's hiding these spies. And if she's found out to be hiding these spies, her life is over. She's done. She'll be put to death. Now, some struggle with the fact that she lied to protect the spies, and it seems as though God is approving of it. Do you think about that a little bit? I know I've thought of that. But I want you to understand something. The Bible reports the facts as they happen without necessarily judging them. And the other thing is, God used her in spite of her flaws. Remember, she was a prostitute. Lying came with the territory. So telling this lie for her, it's like, this is nothing. I'm lying for somebody's benefit. And the other thing that I think it's so important to remember is that young Christians, when you're first in faith, you're first looking at the things of God, you first come to faith, there's a process with all of us of a sanctification. We don't all change right away, do we? And in fact, when we first get saved, we're kind of like, we don't even know what really happened. And I'm sure that's sort of where Rahab is at this point. And I remember being in a prayer meeting with some young believers. And we start to pray, and one of the young believers starts to pray, and they pray in their own language, and, you know, and they're kind of their way of talking, and it's kind of rough. Using kind of an inappropriate language in prayer, and some of the Christians kind of go, they gasp, oh no. Will God hear that prayer? I don't think it really hurts God's ears. You know, I mean, I think God can get past that stuff. Now, obviously, if you've been in the Lord a long time and you're still praying curse words, I mean, you're in trouble. You ought to be thinking through that. But we're all under grace, and this woman was a woman who's under the grace of God, and God, and there's a faith building in her. Something's happening inside of her. And so she just kind of figures it out. She's going to lie about where they are. Now, could God have done it without her lying? Yeah, he could have. And I'm sure he would have if she would have sought him to do that, but she didn't, and she did the best she could. And God used her with all her flaws. Aren't you glad God still uses us with all our flaws? And then she heard about this great God of the Hebrews. Verses 9 to 13 are so much the meat of this section. Notice what she says. She says, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. And look what she says in verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. Now, isn't this interesting that she's the one that's bringing out the issue of the Red Sea? It happened 40 years earlier. 40 years ago. It's almost like she's saying, we've been expecting you. Where have you guys been for 40 years? You've been out there wandering in the wilderness. We know what God could do. And by the way, it says that she says, we have heard. Where do you suppose Rahab heard all this? Well, you can imagine that the harlot in town got a lot of out-of-towners who cruised through and would have been telling many tales. And she's listening and she's thinking. She's considering these things about this God who can part a sea. This God who she goes on to talk about, who can wipe out, who can have just some slaves who come out of Egypt, wipe out the two kings and the Amorites on the other side of the Jordan, Sion and Og, whom they utterly destroyed. Sion and Og, by the way, Og is known to be one of the giants. So we've heard all about this. And she's listening, and she knew that this God was a God to be feared, that there's something uniquely happening here. And listen, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Notice what she says at the end of verse 11. She says in the beginning, as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Key words. We need a fear of the Lord today. Rahab had a fear of the Lord. There's so little of this these days. People just play games with God now. You sort of go, yeah, I'd like to have Jesus. You know, yeah, it's cool. I like the music. Yeah, that's cool. Bald guy, he's kind of funny. Sometimes. Sometimes he's boring. Lord, give us a fear of you. I pray that. An awe of your presence. And fear of God doesn't mean you cower from God, but it's an awe of your presence. When Jacob was there and saw the ladder that came down from heaven, and the ladder that had the angels descending and ascending upon it, it says that Jacob said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. He had a fear of the Lord. When the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus calmed the storm, you know, there was that storm, and Jesus is sound asleep in the back of the boat. And they go to Jesus, and they're kind of freaking out. The Lord, we're perishing. Don't you care? We're going to die. Jesus wakes up. Oh, you of what kind of faith was it? Little faith. And then when he calms the storms, they say, who can this man be that even the wind and the waves obey him? There was a fear of God. There was an awe of who God was. And we need that restored in our life. And Rahab had that. She was a woman who had a fear of the Lord. She was blown away by this God. The wording there is very clear. The Lord your God, he is God in heaven and on earth beneath. She knew that their God was the true and living God. She had real faith. And no doubt she had been praying for God to reveal himself to her. No doubt she was praying, Lord, God, I've heard these stories, and Lord, if you're real, just show yourself to me, just reveal yourself to me, Lord, and I'll follow you. Any rooms for the night, two spies said? And there, she welcomes them in, and next thing you know, she's in this conversation with them about the God that she's heard so much about. Isn't it amazing how God works that way sometimes? I remember thinking back 40 years ago. My sister Kathy was in her little yellow house, her little house on the prairie in Oregon. It was a small house, and she was sitting there with her two kids, and she was just didn't have money. She didn't have what she needed. She was afraid. She's 3,000 miles away from her family. Her husband, my brother-in-law, is out working, and she just starts praying, and she's crying, and she's saying, God, if you're real, will you show yourself to me? Will you reveal yourself to me? Will you show me some way? Show me an answer, God. Knock on the door comes. It's the local, one of the local pastors of the church in that area. And he comes and he says, I'm just out here today wanting to talk to people about Jesus. She about dragged him in the house and sat him down. And she was like the easiest convert on the planet. He just knocked the fruit off the tree. And she was just like, yes, I want Jesus, you know. And then my brother-in-law came home and thought she'd lost her noodle. That began a process with her whole family getting saved, the rest of my family getting saved, coming to Christ, and now we're working with the third generation of her kids, her grandkids, who are in the mission field. See, we also see this in the life of Rahab. We see how she wanted to help her family. Look at verses 12 and 13. It says that, you know, she's begging them to swear to the Lord that they would show kindness to her, and she wants to spare her father, her mother, her brothers, her sisters, and all that have delivered, and that they would all be delivered from death. Imagine how her life had been, how hurt her mother and father would be. Imagine the life of a prostitute. I mean, no one ever grows up and says, hey, I hope my little girl becomes a prostitute one day. No one thinks that way. And if you've ever had a prodigal, you know how these parents felt. Maybe some of you have a prodigal even now. And it breaks your heart. But to think that this prodigal girl, this girl would be thinking of them, and she doesn't forget her family, she doesn't forget her mom and her dad. She wants them to be saved with her. And when real change takes place in the life of a person, when you come to Christ, you want to see everyone around you that you love come to Christ also. You want to see them turn to the Lord. You want to see their lives change too. So much so that your friends and family, they get kind of upset with you sometimes. Like, are you going to tell me about Jesus again? And you're like, yep. Because it's like you're in a ship drowning, and I've got a life preserver. And if you were in a ship drowning, or if you just happen to be outside right now drowning, and I had a life preserver and I could save you, wouldn't you want to be saved? Wouldn't you want me to cast you that life preserver? Well, Jesus is that life preserver for you if you'll come to him. And so we tell them over and over, we tell them about Jesus, and sometimes they say, stop, you're a Jesus freak. And you say, amen, I am. She was aware that she needed and wanted to help her family. And she was one who also knew that God would bring judgment, that he would do this. She knew she was a sinner and she needed salvation. And she knew that all were under condemnation. She said, they're going to come, and we know that we're going to be judged by you. We know God has given us, delivered us into your hands, and judgment is coming. And you know, when you come to that place and you realize that, and she did all this without a TV preacher or a radio evangelist. She did all of this without even a Bible to read. All she had was the witness of what she heard about this great God of the Hebrews. And I notice also with her heart toward her family, she becomes one who's others-centered. She's thinking about others, and that's another change that takes place in our life when we come to faith. When faith happens in our life, we start to think about what other people and what's to their best interest. Because by nature, we're all very selfish, but we see her not being so selfish anymore. And it says in verse 14, so the men answered her, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us this land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Rahab was spared. I titled today's message, Rahab's Rehab. But it was more than a rehab, really. It was a regeneration. And in Joshua chapter 6, verse 25, it confirms what happens. It says, Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. What a redemption story. What an incredible thing that God looked down upon her. But it doesn't end here. When you consider the big picture, it's even more amazing. Because I want you to think about God looking upon this one harlot. Here you have the plan of the ages being enacted. We know that God had called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans to come into the land of promise, and then he sent them over to Egypt because of a famine in the land. And he allows them to go there, but then after a number of years, the Pharaoh turns against them, and for 400 years, they're in slavery. But God sends a deliverer to them by the name of Moses, and he brings miraculous plagues to set them free. He destroys the armies of the Egyptians in the Red Sea. He brings them through the wilderness wanderings, providing manna every day, water from the rock, the commandments from Sinai. He calls Joshua to this great nation, to bring this great nation into the land of promise. And in the midst of all this grandeur of God's plan, of what God is doing, he looks down and he hears the cry of one harlot, one wall walker named Rahab. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. But it's the story of who our God is, isn't it? And he reaches down to this depraved woman in a depraved city, a hooker in need, and he loves her, and he works with her, and he restores her. And it tells us in the great hall of faith, where all these great men of faith are mentioned, from Abraham to Moses to David to many others, only two women are mentioned in that great hall of faith. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and Rahab. And it tells us that by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. And God even used Rahab to encourage the spies. Because if you look at the wording in verse 24, you'll see that they use the very words that she used. They use the words, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Very same words. Where did they get those words? They got them from Rahab. Now you can imagine this conversation. The two spies come back to Joshua. They go to Joshua, hey, we got the report, man. They're all scared to death of us. They are faint-hearted, they are wearied, their hearts are melting. You wouldn't believe what's going on. Joshua's like, great, that's good news. I mean, because we want to go in. We don't want to have to do too much battle. And remember, they don't really know what the battle plan's going to be yet. We don't know at what point Joshua gets the battle plan, that they're going to walk around the walls. And so when he first sends the spies out, certainly I don't think he had that battle plan, because he was going doing what any general would do, go in and check out the land, let's go scope things out. But when they come back and they tell Joshua, Joshua's like, okay, it's great news. So let me ask you, where'd you hear this news? Oh, we met a woman there, you know, on the wall up in there. You know, just a woman. Really? You met a woman there, right? Yeah, a woman. Yeah. What does she do, that woman? She's a prostitute. He's like. But yet God uses this woman's words. And she knew that God was coming. And God was going to send these spies to her house, and the walls were coming down. And the only way she would stand is if she submitted herself to the God of these spies. And her only salvation was found as she obeyed putting the scarlet cord outside the window. The scarlet thread of the gospel. Remember that God had used the red blood to cause the angel of death to pass over, right? But this red blood of the scarlet thread of the gospel threads all the way through this book, right? The blood of Jesus Christ. And it's only when we apply the blood of Jesus to our lives that we're able to stand, we're able to make it. When the walls were about to come down, and remember something, they go in, you guys know the rest of the story, right? You know that they go in, they march around the walls of Jericho, and then the walls come down. She's a wall walker. She lives, the Bible says, on the wall. Wait a minute, the walls came down. What does that mean? That means Rahab and her clan, her father, her sisters, her brothers, were standing likely huddled together on a wall as they watched the rest of all the walls in Jericho go down as they stood. Doesn't say they came down off the walls. Imagine that moment. Imagine that experience. Because her life was on the foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ. You remember what Jesus said about that? He said, a wise man builds his house upon a rock. And when the winds come and the storms come and the rains come, that man will stand. But a foolish man builds his house upon the sand. And the wind and the rain and the storms come, and that man will crumble. Let me ask you a question. When the walls of this world come down, will your house stand? Because these walls are coming down. We're watching them come down around us right now, aren't we? And when you look and you see the red line of faith in your life, the blood-stained cord of faith in your life, the scarlet thread of the gospel that goes through your life, it's the blood of his son, and he is our only answer. And listen, as we read this story of Rahab and we look at it and we examine it, it's the same God we serve. A God who notices prostitutes who cry out to him. I am Rahab. You are Rahab. We are all Rahab. Because Jesus came to save sinners. You know, when he came to this earth, that's all that was here, was sinners. And he came to save sinners. And I don't know what bondage you're in or what slavery you're enslaved to, but he wants to free you from that. He wants to take away any hurt and pain that you have in your life, because all slavery is just another form of worship. All bondage in your life is just another form of worship. And we all have sold out. You know, a prostitute is really just somebody who sells out. They've sold out, right? We've all sold out in some way or another in our lives. But the great news is that even though she sold out, God bought her back, and he buys us. He'll buy you, and he's bought many of you and most of you. He's bought you out of sin and pain and slavery and bondage. Because Rahab found the right master. I've found the right master. How about you? But it's not over. In closing this, turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 1. We're back at the Christmas story. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Oh no, Pastor Chris is reading the begots. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Abinadab. Abinadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. And Rahab begot Obed by Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. Notice, Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Rahab, the harlot, married Salmon. And this prostitute with simple faith, this wall walker, becomes the great-great-grandmother of David the king, the greatest king that Israel would ever have. But it's not over. Because if you read the rest of this genealogy, you'll see that she's also the great, 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 and you can count them all, however many greats there are, grandmother of Jesus the Messiah. What a God we serve. He pushes through the multitudes to find the one broken heart who's willing to follow him. And she hangs her royal bloodline out her window, and God takes notice. And he takes notice of you and I too. And maybe you're here today and you've not yet said, Lord, I need that blood to save me. I need my life saved. Or maybe you're here today and you're hurting and you're broken. Maybe it has to do with an abortion or some other event in your life, something that has ruled you. God wants to free you. He loves you. He loved Rahab, and he loves all the Rahabs since. And we all need his rehab. Amen?